I will double check, and then I will triple check, and I will check and make sure I like, all right, 1.4 million followers. It's Mark Stein. We're good here.
Yeah, this is why I turn on the notifications for all of the big news breakers, too, just to avoid the potential, you know, sentold at that point. So, yeah, trust me with the nest.
That's it, man. So anyway, Larry Nance Jr., what does this do for you, Spencer? Does it do anything for you?
I think it's a solid move. I think it probably means Tristan Thompson's not coming back because he kind of fills that role for you as like a veteran voice in the locker room. And I think at this point in his career, like 32, he still can give you something like on the floor. Like TT was basically just like he was kind of like the cheerleader of the team in a lot of ways.
You wanted to call him a cheerleader so bad.
I don't mean any disrespect by that, but like Tristan Thompson wasn't playing games. He was basically just there as like, hey, you think we don't have any playoff experienced guys who can tell us how it is? This is the guy that can tell you how it is. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't do any good when he's not playing games.
He was also a great halftime interview, and he would do the post-game stuff
as
well.
He is great for that. No, yeah. I mean, listen, I love Tristan Thompson. I think, obviously, he's going to go down as like an all-time favorite Cav here in town. But I like this gives you more versatility in terms of like being able to actually play a guy who can, you know, sub out Evan Mobley for a little bit or Jared Allen and gives you like the third big that you've been looking for. He can shoot the three a little bit, which is nice, like stretches the floor a little bit more. So I think this is a good move. I was big on Al Horford. I really wanted them to get Al Horford. It sounds like there's like a ton of competition for Al Horford. He probably doesn't want to come here. But, I mean, if this was going to be like the guy you got instead, I was happy with Larry Nance Jr.
Now, the funny part of myself, and obviously Odyssey Rewind, go back and listen to 420. We talked about a clip at 420, really, for the rest of the 4 o'clock hour about Kevin Durant. And he's on LeBron and Steve Nash's podcast, and they just rip Darius to shreds. The funny part to myself is the Cavs. As, you know, Dan Gilbert joins Donovan Mitchell and only wanting to tweet at WNBA stars instead of acknowledging the fact that three mega stars in the NBA just ripped one of their franchise players apart. You know, maybe they're like, hey, Mark Stein, we have some news for you. We're going to go ahead and tell you about Larry Nance Jr. So maybe, just maybe, people won't talk about Kevin Durant ripping Darius Garland to shreds. Maybe, just maybe,
we can distract him. Or is this like an NBA's rigged situation where they're like,
well, no,
they don't realize
it's not going to work. They don't realize this isn't a big enough thing for it to matter and for us to take us off what exactly happened today around Cavs land.
But is there a more controversial form of like radio or like talk than like trashing Sports City radio? Like that, it doesn't matter what city. If you go on a tirade, whether you're an athlete, whether you're like a radio, whatever. Anybody that has something bad to say about a city, like, you will get attacked by that city's hive.
All right, Mac, just pull up Cleveland. Pull up the clip. We're going to do the clip now. I wanted to avoid this because I'm not. I don't like to give the WNBA air to breathe. Okay, I don't. I'm not.
Why do you hate the WNBA so much?
I got a thing against the WNBA. I think the product's bad. I don't think it's very competitive basketball, and I think a lot of people stand for it in ways that just confuses me. I don't understand it. And a lot of people they'll tell you how big of WNBA fans they are while never actually watching any of the games or never actually doing anything with the product. Like Mac is our lead WNBA analyst because Mac actually like travels to go to the games.
That's right. He did travel.
And in return, I send him clips on loop of them playing what looks like rec league basketball instead. Well, that's just me being me.
Whole Angel Reese bit? Is that like she can't actually score, so she just gets like 5 rebounds in a row because she gets her own rebound and then finally scores? Like, isn't that the whole thing?
I don't love the idea. That is part of the bit. I don't love the idea that Caitlin Clark is shooting 29% from three this year. She's shooting under 40% from the field, and people are acting like she's Larry Bird. Make it make sense to me, because it doesn't. It doesn't. Everything she does is apparently great, except playing basketball right now, where she stinks, but nobody wants to talk about it. And then we got the nerve of Sophie Cunningham, who is basically just, she's just Caitlin Clark's goon, is all she is. She's a hired goon to protect Caitlin Clark, because Caitlin Clark needs protection while shooting 29% from three, apparently. And Sophie just went on to trash Cleveland. All right, Sophie, you want the attention. Here you got it.
I also think that you want to listen to your players, too. Like, where do they want to play? Where are they going to get excited to play and draw fans? And I do think that Miami would have been a great one. Like, everyone loves Florida. Nashville is an amazing city. Kansas City, amazing opportunity. There's a huge arena downtown that no one's using. I'm not so sure what the thought process is there. But at the end of the day, you also want to make sure that you're not expanding our league too fast. I think that's also another thing, that you don't want teams to totally dominate and then have teams that aren't. And so I just think that it's kind of a hard situation. But, man, I don't know how excited people are to be going to Detroit or Cincinnati.
Did she say Detroit or Cincinnati?
Yeah, did she say Cincinnati?
She didn't even know where they were expanding. Oh, I feel much better about the slight now. I didn't hear that part of it. I feel much better about the slight. When she doesn't even get the name right, she doesn't even understand that it's Cleveland, not Cincinnati. That's not even a shot at us. She's just ignorant.
She's a shot at Cincinnati.
She's
instead.
Just ignorant. She doesn't know
Should
what she's
Terry
talking
Frank
about.
Cohen speak up on the city of Cincinnati.
She
now.
Just she doesn't even have the bandwidth to understand what she's even saying. And so for that, I almost absolve her.
So well, I was going to say
she's like a little Labrador puppy. I'm just going to absolve her. It's not her fault.
Her saying Cincinnati almost makes me think that like she was just talking and had no idea like really what she really didn't have a stance on this. And she just like kind of made it up as she went. Like we all do this sometimes. Things pop up when we're on, like hosting a show, and it's like, oh, we got to have a take on this real quick.
We're
like,
not supposed
I'll
to.
I'll just come up with it. On
oh,
the
is,
fly.
Is that where the Larry Nance Jr. take came from?
Well, I mean,
that's on the fly.
I had Larry Nance on my brain that it could happen.
You had nothing else prepped on that.
But that is a good example of like, hey, this could happen on the fly. Now we have to have a take on it. I think that's what happened here. She just like got asked a question. She's like, I don't really know how I feel about this. But on one hand, she could also be speaking on the fact of like how her teammates are reacting to like Cleveland's on there, Detroit's on there, like how they've processed it over the last couple of days. I don't know. I
mean, again, Darius is getting dragged in these streets and Donovan's commenting on this right now. Dan Gilbert in between the break commenting on this right now.
One of the funniest things
on this comment
about
from
this
Sophie
entire
Cunningham.
Thing is that she is saying this while she plays for another Midwestern city that like kind of gets a bad rap. Like it's Indianapolis. It's cold there too.
Yeah, the nickname there is Naptown.
Right. Like it's
not even a joke.
Like
their city nickname is Naptown.
Your claim to fame outside of Peyton Manning and your football stadium that he helped build is that all your buildings are connected by like the skyways. Like that's the whole thing. It's like, you don't have to go outside because it's so cold here. You can just go building to building without ever having to step foot outside.
We don't have to fall into that trap of they make fun of our city. We have to make fun of their city. No one wins in that battle.
To be clear, I really like Indianapolis. I've gone back-to-back years now at the combine.
I don't know that it sounds like you like Indianapolis
Indy,
much.
Indy, like Cleveland in my opinion,
what's
is
your
a
take
very,
on the St. Elmo's?
Is a very underrated city. I think it's an underrated city, but I do find it hilarious that like, as we think about like cities that are comparable, like in the same area of the country, like Detroit, Cleveland, Indianapolis, probably even Cincinnati to a degree, like those cities would all kind of get lumped together as like smaller markets.
Detroit's
Midwest.
A top 10 market. I never understand how Detroit gets lumped in there. I mean, I understand why.
I think in other
I understand
areas,
why she
though.
Wants to talk trash about Detroit. I get some of that, but we're not doing that here. We're not fighting fire with fire. We are city positive is the main message. Let's get to our lead WNBA correspondent. I want his takes on this.
In a world of novice WNBA coverage, there's only one expert with the skills, knowledge, and information to break down the biggest stories of a league where the lights are the brightest and the basketball is the best. Here's Afternoon Drive's senior WNBA correspondent, Mac Robinson.
All right, Mac, defend your league. And one of the premier people in the league right now.
I can't defend her on this. Absolutely not. Because, again, I think that it's the fact that out of all the cities that she mentions, she goes immediately to Miami, which, again, is famous for having their fans that show up in the second quarter and leave by the fourth.
Fair.
And then on top of that, she There's immediately
just city
goes
bash.
To...
We've established this. We can't city
that
bash.
That wasn't city bashing. That was fan bashing. That is a difference.
Okay. No, that's bashing
Miami's
her take.
Miami's a great city from what I've heard. I've never been, but I've heard it's great.
This is bashing her take. Because, again, if these are the ones that you're going to pull out immediately, like, I very much disagree with the fact that she pulls out Nashville... Following again, great town, everything like that. But that's where you're pulling that out next. That's your second choice, and then Kansas City, that hasn't really had a basketball, any kind of basketball, footprint in there. And she
also
mentions,
very cold.
Well, not since like the 70s in the
also,
Royals.
Right, also very
exactly.
cold.
Exactly. And so those are the ones that she goes ahead and brings out as the interesting opportunity to really bring in all those different cities. And you're going to bash Detroit and Cleveland, but then you're going to bring up Kansas City. To all of a sudden bring in a new team for.
I also,
so I can't stand it.
I also think, JP, your crusade against the WNBA, one of the things that I think should annoy people the
it's
most
a bad product.
About these comments and like why they should join your crusade is this is like a positive thing for this sport. Like the WNBA is still largely fighting for attention. Caitlin Clark has like magnetized it to another degree.
Stars, they don't know what they're doing
right,
out there.
Right. And this is my point. Like, this is supposed to be a good thing for the league. You're expanding.
Yeah.
That should help everybody. More money in everybody's pockets. The league is going to grow. There's going to be more eyeballs on it. This is a good thing. And the first thing that you have to say about it is, why are we going to Cleveland and Detroit? Like, we should really be going to these other cities that are better for our players.
That's a good point.
Like, She's
not much of a company woman,
like,
here,
like,
is she?
I'm not saying, like, yes, like, they should be, like, the NBA players, and, like, we always hear these stories about, like, yeah, they favor certain cities and all that. Like, yeah, they've been around long enough where, like, they've established themselves in all these markets, and it's like, okay, now they get to choose these certain destinations. Like, let the league grow, and then if you don't ever want to play in Cleveland, you don't have to play in Cleveland, you can go to Miami. But you, meanwhile, play in Indianapolis. It's just ridiculous.
Well, and on top of that, too, Caitlin Clark last year at the Final Four
came out and said...
Our WNBA correspondent.
Time flies.
He's not college basketball. It's not college women's basketball. It's...
Nailed it.
WNBA.
But, no, the fact that Caitlin Clark came out and said, like, how much she appreciated the love for the game here when she played in the Final Four in Cleveland and talked about how much it was great for the game. And that's Sophie's teammate.
Well, I mean, just because Caitlin did it doesn't mean it's Sophie's experience in it, though.
It's also the face of your team.
Listen, I'm not defending it. I think it was a bad move. When she said Cincinnati, though, I thought, oh, you poor thing. You're just ignorant to it all. Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. I'm sure at some point she has to have come to Cleveland in some capacity, right? Like, she's been traveling all over. Maybe she hasn't. I'm not sure. Maybe she's only been to... Where'd she last play? Phoenix?
Was traded from Phoenix to Connecticut before getting traded to Indianapolis.
Think she's like from the Midwest. I think she's like from Missouri or something. Yeah, she's from Missouri. So
she's from Missouri. I know she's from Missouri because she was the youngest black belt. Female black belt in Missouri state history.
No wonder the Cavs could use an enforcer like her.
That was like the fun fact about her. And then like she played football in high school too, was another little fun fact about her. She's like a kicker on the football team. Like there's all sorts of things we've learned about Sophie Cunningham in the process of trying to figure out who exactly Caitlin Clark's goon is. But I'm going to let her off the hook in some ways, not give her a Peter Wynn pass. That's not what's happening here. But when you don't actually say Cleveland directly and you confuse us for Cincinnati, you don't know what you're talking
about
anyway.
Isn't that also kind of insulting though? Because we don't really like being compared to Cincinnati.
No, it's just telling me that like you don't know, you just don't even know what you're even discussing. You're trying to have a basketball conversation when you're talking football. You just don't even know you're in the wrong zip code to begin with, so I can't even take you serious.
I get it, but I just think people are going to bring up, I guarantee you tomorrow morning, when they talk about this on the morning show, you know Ken's going to go right to the Sam White, "You don't live in Cleveland" speech. Like that's 100% what he's going to bring up, how we don't even like being compared to Cincinnati in this instance.
I'm going to let her off the hook here. I'm going to do an unpopular thing, and I'm going to let the WNBA that I've routinely trashed, I'm going to let one of their premier players off the hook in this instance.
Didn't see this happening. Jonathan Peterlin, who was rallying against the WNBA.
You should have seen that coming from a long way.
Now he's like, you know what? I'm going to take Sophie Cunningham's side. Crazy.
When she comes to town 3 years from now. Oh, the anger. I mean, people right now are acting
Will
as if...
Will it be as volatile?
They're acting like she's Ichiro. They're acting like she's...
She'll get the Kelly Olynyk treatment.
She's the Joakim Noah.
She's acting like she's Noah, all Cleveland's, these type of things. And it's just not true. Team. She couldn't even get our city name right. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. She just has no... Lights on, nobody's home, okay? Like, there's just nothing happening.
That makes you think she's definitely never been to Cleveland, then, to your point. Like, I don't think she's been here. Yeah. She doesn't even know where it is. She thinks it's Cincinnati.
She thinks it's Cincinnati, which is basically Kentucky. So how wrong can you possibly be in one take?
I mean, it could be worse. You could be in Cincinnati and then actually be in basically Kentucky.
You know what I hope for this city? I hope for the city that one day when this happens, we don't even think twice on it and we just shrug our shoulders and just say, you're wrong. Like, I really do think we're getting to that spot. Like, I think this city's so great, and I love this city so much, and I think this city is having so much confidence based off of every person that comes here in the previous decade or so loves this city to death.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm the poster child for loving this city. I moved here. It's been 10 years, and I plan on dying here. Like, if anyone can speak to how great this city is, it's someone like myself that is not from here but has adopted it as its own and has embraced this city like it's its own. You're the same way as well.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
And like I feel like the best thing for the city. Like, you know what Detroit does with this commentary right here? Detroit doesn't think about this commentary. Detroit doesn't bring this up. Detroit doesn't talk about it. Like at some point, I hope for this city, and I know we're getting there, where we're just going to be so awesome that it just doesn't even someone like this. We just shrug our shoulders and say, "Oh, she just doesn't know any better. Well, she hasn't been here. She hasn't understood it. It's okay."
The thing that bothers me, I guess, though, is like every time it seems like we've moved past that, and like people like last year, Jameis Winston's out here like Cleveland has the most beautiful 90 days of the year in the country. Like, it's great. And then like Donovan Mitchell's always talking well about, like, it finally feels like we're getting to a point where people have accepted like maybe Cleveland's not as bad. Then every now and then there's one person who gets the platform where like they go back and just fall back on the old tropes, and it just like rehashes it on. It's like, this is the lazy take that like gets this whole thing going again.
But instead of the response,
and that's all people hear, and they think that that's true about Cleveland.
I know, but the response just has to be, okay, she's never been here. Instead of the response being, oh my gosh, I can't believe she said this, and then trying to like prove to her how awesome we are, you're actually awesome, and I think we are, the response should just be, oh, okay, so she doesn't know what she's talking about. And I feel like we're getting there. I feel like we are in many ways. We're getting there where the response can just be, oh, clearly she's just a misinformed human is all that is. Like, there's growth attached to this. But also, guys, when people say things like this, we just got to let it roll off the back a little bit easier. Really do think Detroit's not worried about this commentary. Detroit's not spending any time talking about Sophie Cunningham and what she said today. Not a chance. I got Dan Gilbert responding. I got Donovan Mitchell responding.
He's talking about it.
The city of Detroit quote tweeted that tweet with the attendance.
I said Detroit radio. You got to pay attention. I said Detroit radio.
Can we get Matt Darion?
Social media lives for moments like this in order to dunk on people that are misinformed. How much time is 97.1 The Ticket talking about this?
Let's get Matt Darion for some insight.
They're not doing it. We're better than this. I know we're better than this. We are. Sophie Cunningham is going to get you guys all riled up on a Tuesday afternoon. You got to be kidding me. All right. Instead, we'll talk Browns quarterbacks. Let's do what we do best. Shedeur Sanders and a mentor you don't want. We'll talk about it coming up next. 216-474-0092. It's Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan.
It is the second story on their website. For what it's worth.
Yeah, again, so website, Twitter, all this. Like, Mac thinks he's a genius chiming in with the Detroit City. Like, every social media person loves. It's catnip. For them, this type of stuff.
He came out and said that Dan Gilbert's commenting on it. Like, yes,
well,
because where did he comment on it? On social media.
Yeah, but like Dan Gilbert isn't a faceless account of a city. I mean, Dan Gilbert's an actual person. Donovan Mitchell's an actual person. Between the two of them, they're probably two of the top 10 most influential people in the city? Easily?
I only mentioned it because you said nobody in Detroit's talking about it.
No. I said nobody in the radio in Detroit is talking about it. We went to 97.1, and now I'm getting chaptered to death over here, as if the chaptering is what's the excuse for why they're not talking about Sophie Cunningham. They're not talking about Sophie Cunningham because Detroit gets ripped. And you know what Detroit does? They say to themselves, "We don't care. Who's Sophie Cunningham?" is what they say. But here, we just took it as such a big insult. It's okay. We'll get to a spot. I really do believe, Spencer, we're going to get to a spot where it just will not matter to us. And we're going to look at Sophie Cunningham, and instead of saying to ourselves, why is she ripping Cleveland? She clearly has never been here. She's obviously wrong about the whole entire situation. We'll be like, oh, shouldn't she be propping up the league? Shouldn't she be talking about, it'd be like if here at Odyssey they gave some big mandate or something like that that accelerated the growth of the company and everyone was really happy about, and I was just like, I think that stinks. Well, who does that? The worst version of a company man I've ever heard.
I just think it's great that before the Cleveland WNBA team has a name, it already has a villain. I think that's awesome. It's setting the tone. Like, she is now the Joakim Noah, the Mo Wagner.
So that's the part I don't want. So when we do the Cleveland hate list, because I love that. It's one of my favorite hack summer topics that always seems to pop up.
The
Cleveland villain list is great. The Cleveland hate
ben
list, whatever you want to call it.
Ben Roethlisberger's always on there. Art Modell is by default number one. If he's not your number one, you're doing something wrong.
Well, but it always goes, Ichiro and Noah and like the classic guys always end up winning the race, right? But then you do get some other guys that pop in, like you'd mentioned there, that we have just other reasons to hate, like actual sports reasons, like Big Ben to hate. And it's a nice combination of things. She can't make this list yet. I'm sorry. She didn't even say our city right. She called us Cincinnati. You don't make the list calling us Cincinnati. I'm sorry.
I told you, conversely, maybe you're not a
big enough player.
Because we don't like Cincinnati.
You're not Caitlin Clark. You're just her henchman. You're not a big enough player. You're not a known commodity enough, and you play in a league that currently is losing $50 million a year.
I would honestly argue that it's more insulting that she didn't call you by the right name, because that makes it seem like you're even more relevant to her.
And I know.
What's that other city called? Cleveland.
The more and more we talk about, the more and more
Cleveland-atty. Like she's just making stuff up. Like, that's almost more insulting than just getting the city's name right. She just called you a completely different city.
I gave her the pass. I gave it to her now. I give it to you now.
Like Peterlin
thank
pass.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
You've earned the old Peterlin pass, Sophie Cunningham.
If we had a guest on the show.
You get it.
It's like the Baskin Scott Farrell thing where he's like, hey Scotty, what's up, my man? Like if you called a guest by the wrong name, you don't think they'd be insulted by that? We always hear in this business, like, get the names right. That's the most important thing. Get the names right. She couldn't even get the name of the city right.
It was a place of ignorance. That's all it is. She's just not in the know. She doesn't understand what she's saying. Chad and Medina, what's up, Chad?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Hey man, how's it going?
Good. Hey, I got two things. Number one, on Sophie Cunningham, why are we giving her relevance? She plays in a league that only exists because it's subsidized by another league. The biggest takeaway from this is somebody needs to...
And bankrolled by Caitlin Clark, too, but that's about it, yeah.
Well, look at the... I mean, Caitlin Clark was injured for 2 weeks. Attendance and ratings went down 50%. It's a one-person league.
Right.
But somebody needs to sit her down and say, you've just irritated two of the owners that pay for your product to exist. That's probably her bigger problem. If they band together and get enough people to say we're not doing this anymore, the WNBA is gone in about 5 minutes. But getting back to the quarterback situation, I don't think we can play the rookies right away. The schedule's too hard. We're going to put them in such a bad spot. They're going to look horrible. And then we're not going to have really a true read on what they can do and what they can't do.
All right, Chad, we'll react to that, and I appreciate you, man, as always. So there's a couple things off the rookie conversation, and we had it, obviously, in the lead to start off, and maybe we'll dive a little bit back into that because I know Spencer had some strong thoughts there. But with Shedeur Sanders, I thought it was kind of wild that people were so upset that, according to the report, Mary Kay Cabot had it in Cleveland.com. It got picked up by the New York Post is where a lot of the traction came from, but it was from Mary Kay's article in Sunday. People got so mad that Shedeur is being mentored by... Deshaun Watson. And it seems like Deshaun Watson is doing a good job of basically teaching Shedeur Sanders and teaching Dylan Gabriel and kind of taking those guys under his wing. And I don't understand, Spencer, where the frustration... I know where the frustration comes from. That's a dumb comment. But I don't understand why people would be so quick to say Deshaun can't help out Shedeur or Dylan in any capacity.
Yeah.
Like, you might think Deshaun is morally bankrupt. You might think he's an awful football player. That's a bad combo.
You might also think he's an awful person, too.
Well, that's where the morally bankrupt thing comes in, right? Like you might think a lot of bad things about Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson legitimately did play the sport at an extremely high level. And if you think there's nothing that Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel can learn, then I can't help you. There's obviously things that Deshaun Watson can teach these guys.
Well, and one of the hardest things with Deshaun is that throughout this entire process and this entire ordeal and experience, We've never heard him give off a feeling of like remorse, if you will, like if that makes sense. And some of that is just because he can't. Like there still is this one outstanding case where like he can't talk about it. He can't like truly say his side of the story, whether people are going to believe him or not. And so because of that, like he's never really shown like he's remorseful for anything. But that doesn't mean like I don't know what goes through his head. I don't know what he's learned from this entire thing. I would imagine that becoming like the NFL's like biggest villain is a learning experience that you could instill in somebody of like how to avoid that or like what to do right or wrong in those situations and how to try to, I think he does a poor job of blocking that stuff out, which is why he has a lot of the problems he still has and why I think he just doesn't have it on the football field anymore because I think mentally he's just broken. But there are learning experiences in that I think he can instill in somebody. And to your point, like, there's quarterbacking and football experiences that he can sort of instill in somebody. So I'm with you on this. Like, I understand that it's not the person you want mentoring a young quarterback for obvious reasons. But I think if you dig deeper than just like the surface level, like why would the guy that got caught up in everything he got caught up in went to, you know, almost had to go to federal court for it. And have this entire ordeal that led to his demise in the NFL be the guy that you want mentoring him. But I think there are lessons learned from him that he can at least instill in a young quarterback. And I think guys that are in that room, in the field together, in the rooms together, like in these, with these teams, they understand that better than I think like a normal person would on the outside looking in.
All right, let me ask you guys, 216-474-0092, is Shedeur the quarterback you'd want around Deshaun the least? We'll tackle that and a little bit more when we come on back. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.